This is the Beer of the Day podcast.
Welcome to the Beer of the Day podcast. I'm Dallas Helliker.
And I'm Jeff Miller.
And tonight we bring you six different styles of beer from six different states. So we have a whole mess of beer to try, including a Hefeweizen from Texas, an Amber from Arizona, a Belgian Triple from Pennsylvania, our Strange Brew from Lips of Faith series in Colorado, a Blackberry Barley Wine, a chocolate porter from California, and we'll finish it off with a Imperial Black IPA from New Mexico. We also have the latest in beer news and listener comments all tonight here on the Beer of the Day podcast. Hey, Jeff, how's it going?
I'm doing well. How are you?
You back down in SoCal?
I am back here in this hot weather, continuing to drink my summer beers from last week that I have left over, but I'm doing well.
Did you enjoy the finishing off those summer six packs?
You know, I did, because the last show, I mean, we had been drinking a lot all day. It was my birthday also, and I think when we did that podcast, I think we were all pretty tipsy at that point, and I don't know if I think we gave pretty fair assessments, but The beers tasted a lot better, I thought, when I had them this week. I kind of had one each day, sticking to the Beer of the Day theme, and I thought they were really good. I mean, I was impressed. Better than from what I remember on the show, especially that one from Uinta, the Summer,
mm-hmm.
was excellent, and that Buffalo Bills, the Ginger, the Strawberry Blonde,
yeah,
they were really good. And so, you know, in this hot summer weather, they were all very tasty.
Yeah, we meant to do that show in the daytime when it was still hot. We ended up, you know, waiting too long, and then we did the show in the dark. And, you know, the point was, you know, hot summer day beer. And then it was really a, you know, mild summer night that we ended up drinking them. So, fun show, though, anyway. What's that? Oh, wait, that's the first beer we're going to try. It's called Weed Whacker. And Weed Whacker, it's a Hefeweizen, although it doesn't say that on the label. And it's from St. Arnold Brewing Company in Houston, Texas.
I don't know, that sounded a little bit like a motorcycle, but we'll call it a Weed Whacker.
All right, I'm opening my own beers tonight. This is strange.
This is a beer I've been looking forward to. This is from the shipment that our good friend Hugo brought back when he drove from Florida to California picking up beer along the way. And this is a pretty famous brewery. It's the oldest craft brewery in Texas. And I've never had any of their beers, so I'm itching to try this one.
Now, initially on the pour, it was a little hazy, but now it's kind of all settled down and it's cleared up quite a bit. There's very small bubbles floating up. It's still a little hazy. It's a golden yellow color, pale yellow color, with quite a lot of big bubbles in the white head.
It almost smells like a Belgian ale to me. I mean, I think this is not going to be your typical Hefeweizen. And I don't know if it's a true Hefeweizen. They say it's kind of a German Hefeweizen because that's the yeast they use in this.
It definitely has European German Hefeweizen smells, like a little apricot, maybe a little bit of citrus, but it's more, you know, like American Hefeweizens, like Pyramid, it tends to be more lemon, and then the German ones tend to be more apricot. And this definitely smells more apricot.
Yeah, and like banana and clove and orange peel, that sort of, you know, some spice, maybe some coriander. I haven't tasted it yet, but you could definitely smell a little spice in this.
Yeah. So this beer, it's very subtle. I mean, we talked about the summer beer show last week, and it's kind of in that same vein, maybe a little bit more skewing Belgian style. It's a very nice, light, refreshing beer. just maybe a little bit of lemon pith, but you know, it's very reserved.
It is. It's lighter than I thought. It is a beer you would drink on a hot summer day, but it's very Belgian-y to me. And you know, I don't, again, don't know a lot about this brewery, but the label on there, Lawnmower, is one of their famous beers, or I think it's called Fancy Lawnmower Beer, which is a kind of funny name. And they've put a little piece of white tape over it and called it Weed Whacker. So it's the same beer, just made with a different type of yeast. And it's enjoyable. I really like this.
I guess Lawnmower is made with Kolsch yeast, and this is made with Hefeweizen yeast. And you can kind of get a little bit of a Hefeweizen characteristic to it, but if you were just to hand this beer to me off the street and ask me what style it is, I wouldn't call it a Hefeweizen. It's not nearly as thick as and sweet as those, you know, normal Hefeweizens are.
Yeah, but there's a little sweetness. I mean, sometimes bananas have a sweet flavor to me, and there's a lot of banana flavors in this, and I think that lends to some sweetness. I think it's just like, it's a crisp, clean, like high quality beer. Refreshing. I could drink this every day.
Yep. Very smooth, very well balanced. Good beer to kick off the show with.
Are you getting that spice that I smelled, like the coriander? I mean, there's some wheat that you would expect, some like weedy, malty characteristics.
I get it on the smell, and it's very reserved in the taste. I don't even know if I get that.
I agree. I get a lot of it, a lot more on the smell. It almost tastes a little bit different than it smells, which is not a bad thing. It's just a different sort of experience.
Yeah. All right. Before we get into the next beer, did you have any interesting beers this week that you wanted to mention?
Just all those summer beers. I had one a day. I re-drank every one of them to give them a fair shot. So I can't remember what I picked last week as my beer of the day, but I, looking back at this week, that Uinta summer one was excellent. So that was all I drank this week, was going through those summer beers.
All right. Well, I went to the trivia night at the bar on Tuesday, and they had a fresh batch of Lagunitas Born Yesterday. I think last year nice. Was the first year that they came out, and I remember liking it a lot. And it just seems even better this year. Maybe it's just because I'm having it as fresh as possible. But this beer is just such a fresh tasting IPA, really good flavor, not too heavy on the alcohol, as you know, Lagunitas sometimes gets a little too much with the high percentage. And this is like 6.8%, something like that. And just really good flavor.
Do you know, is it the same recipe as last year, or did they tweak anything differently?
I think it's the same. I don't really know. I haven't talked to anybody from Lagunitas or read anything about it. So it seems like the same beer to me. It's just, I'm just always impressed at how fresh tasting it is.
Yeah. I remember that from last year. It was, you know, we drink a lot of IPAs, and you know, we grew up, you know, starting with pale ales. And I remember thinking, for somebody that drinks a lot of IPAs, this is a really solid beer. And I think it was maybe the freshest beer I've ever had.
Yeah, it's really quite good. So if you see it out there, give it a try. All right, let's move into the next beer. This is from Tucson, Arizona, Barrio Brewing Company, Barrio Rojo Scottish Style Amber Ale.
I like a good old canned beer. I've been drinking a lot of canned beers lately with all these summer beers. So yeah, this is from Arizona. I haven't had too many Arizona beers. Had one recently from Santan, so this is a different brewery.
On the aroma, I get a little bit of a sweet malt aroma, a little bit of that brickiness that you find in red ales. This is an interesting name for a beer, Scottish Style Amber Ale. So when just looking at the can and being called Barrio Rojo, you think it's going to be red. Scottish ales are kind of usually red in color. It says amber ale, which is a little bit of a different style of beer. So I don't exactly know what to expect from this.
I mean, the color is it's a pretty dark copper red color. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's the color I was expecting.
It's kind of a very thin tan head on the top, but really good lacing. It really sticks to the side of the glass.
And we've had, yeah, like you said, we've had amber ales, we've had Scotch ales or Scottish ales. So I think this is kind of a unique style.
I'm going to have to employ Andy's third sip rule here. We had such a light beer to start with flavor-wise, and this one is packs a lot of flavor into that first sip.
It does, and it's only 5.5%. And I think a lot of these beers tend to be a little heavier in the alcohol. I think this is fairly light-bodied. I mean, it's got a lot of flavor, but it's not a heavy beer. I get some caramel and some brown sugar. It's not overly sweet. It's pretty malty. I mean, I don't get much hop flavor at all.
No, the malt, it's very malt forward. I agree with you on the caramel, and the brown sugar is prevalent.
Almost like a butter taste also, like butter has a kind of sweetness to it. It's like melted butter and brown sugar. It's very smooth on the finish. I mean, there's no bitterness at all. I'm curious what kind of hops they put in here. You know, I think what a lot of people expect from a darker beer, it's like the toasty, like biscuity flavors.
Yeah.
Maybe some toffee. But it's kind of like a red ale.
It is. It has a lot of red ale characteristics. It's, like you said, it's lighter bodied, so it's not really a Scotch ale. Those are a little bit stronger, bolder. But it does have a lot of maltiness and a lot of sweetness and a fair amount of caramel packing a lot of flavor into each sip here.
There's a little spice, a little bite to it, or maybe it's just some funkiness. It's not completely sweet. It's a pretty complex beer. I think a lot of people would enjoy this.
Yeah, I think that you know, red ales are not what I normally gravitate to as far as styles of beer. They're just like a little bit too malty for me. And some of them get like really dark on the malts and kind of bricky, and it kind of has a powdery mouthfeel. And this doesn't do that. This kind of keeps the same mouthfeel of a like a pale ale, I guess you'd say. But then it does lean more towards those maltier characteristics without the same mouthfeel as a lot of Scotch ales.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. I think the body makes this unique. I think it's a very well done beer. So my first beer from Barrio Brewing Company, I think it's well done.
I agree.
Incoming transmission.
You've got mail.
Comments this week. It's been a while since we had a comment from Rich. Oh, Buckeye Nut. Hey, all. Been a while since I've commented. Hey, it has been. Life's gotten in the way, but I'm back at it now. Another great podcast, as always, and now I have an image of you all in your Speedos around the pool, sipping on some cold suds. I didn't know you were giving that impression.
You don't want that image, believe me.
Yeah. Maybe Speedo could sponsor a pool drinking team. I hear they have an open sponsorship spot at these Olympics. I do love a good fruity beer in the hot summer months, even if it means Dallas would question my manliness. Thanks for all the hard work. Drinking all those beers is tough. Go Bucks. It is tough, Rich, but we're soldiering on here and doing the best we can. On Facebook, facebook.com/thebeerofthedaytheBeerOfTheDay, Tim Sotak posted a photo of Smash Project Single Malt Golden Promise from Long Trail Brewing Company in Bridgewater Corners, Vermont. And he says, it's a very good tropical IPA with some bite in the finish. And he just posted a picture of it, and man, that looks really good. Just so happens we're going to be going to Vermont or around the first week of October. So I don't know if this is one of the ones on the list, but it sure is working its way on there just with Tim's picture. And on Instagram, we're at Instagram at Beer of the Day site. And Jeff posted up a picture of Benchmark Brewing Company's IPA. This was on August 22nd, the Beer of the Day for August 22nd. And Benchmark Brewing replied and said, nice shot, coaster and everything, fancy. It's always good when a brewery responds to us when we post their beer. Oh man, it's been a while. That coaster's practically vintage. We'd love to have you back sometime. Cheers. So we will have to go back there and visit them. and maybe we'll bring our podcasting equipment with us. So yeah, we every day post all of the beers of the day to social media. We post it to Twitter, at Beer of the Day, Instagram, at Beer of the Day site, and on Facebook at facebook.com/TheBeerOfTheDay. We also post it to the website every single day. And if you're a member of the website and you sign up, you put in your email address, you put in your phone number, and we will send the Beer of the Day straight to your email or your text message each day. So there's so many ways you can get the Beer of the Day. It gets repetitive just to read it every time. But we want to make sure that everyone is aware. All right, let's get into the next beer. This is Le Grave Triple Golden Ale from Trogs Brewing Company in Hershey, Pennsylvania. This has the champagne style screw top.
The cork and cage.
Cork and cage. Let me get this open here. I don't normally open my own beers on this podcast, so it's a little bit different.
Woo. Watch out, it's going to foam up.
No, I think we're okay.
Mine started to.
Pouring here.
Lots of like frothy white, very white head.
Just the way this beer looks as I pour it, I already have high hopes. It just had this like crystal clear golden color as it was pouring into the glass. Now there's a lot of head here. I didn't do a great job of pouring it. I have more head than I have beer, but it's dissipating. And there is a massive amount of tiny little champagne bubbles floating up through the pale yellow color.
And it is a little hazy. I mean, you said it looked clear coming out of the bottle, but it's a pretty hazy golden color.
It is hazy, but it seems like to me that the haziness is caused by the bubbles of the carbonation. Now, there is some yeast sediment I can see kind of floating in there.
Yeah, so it's just sort of hanging around.
You don't see that too often.
The aroma on here is really interesting. I took a few whiffs, and I don't know exactly how to describe it, but it is not your typical aroma from a beer.
It's Belgian yeast. It's like breadiness, a lot of bread type of notes.
Yeah, you're right. It's like if you're baking bread and you open the oven or whatever, you know, and you smell it.
It's like bread that's not quite done yet.
Yeah, you're right, though. I have high hopes for this. This is from Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Whoa. So this beer surprises me on the flavor. It is very sweet. I'm surprised at how sweet it is. It's like taking a bite of sugar candy.
I think this is a complex beer. I get that initial sweetness. I think there's also some pepper flavors. I think it's very bready or biscuity. Bready and biscuity, malty. I think there's some fruit. Even, you know, a little bit of that banana.
Yeah.
Clove, kind of like the first beer.
Yeah, it's very light on the pepper, like white pepper. The sweetness, just transitioning from that previous beer, it was, you know, that's what dominated the first taste. But after a couple of sips now, it is sweet initially, but then all these other layers come into the background. The breadiness, the fruit, that's something else.
I think what I enjoy about it is the mouthfeel is like that silky, smooth, buttery texture that not a lot of beers have, and I just think it's very silky smooth.
That's exactly how I see it as well.
I think this is excellent. It's got some earthy and floral hops, a little bit of a European taste. I mean, you would expect that from a Belgian-style triple. Wow, it's good. There's some fruit here. I don't know if I can quite identify what the fruits are, but this is a pretty complex beer. A lot of flavors going on.
Yeah, I think the fruits are like more dark fruit, like dates or currants or something like that, or maybe even a little pruney. I don't know.
I was thinking like apple or pear or something that grows on a tree.
Even a grape.
Yeah.
there's it's hard to identify, but it's definitely a very interesting beer.
It's one of those beers where you could name off like 8 different fruits that people will have different palates and will pick up on different flavors.
Yeah. This is one Joel brought back when he went to Cincinnati, and it's been in the fridge for quite a while. I'm glad we finally got to try it.
He's going to be feeling left out, though.
Sorry, Joel. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, we have our Strange Brew segment. We'll take you through the latest in the beer news and then finish it off with 2 more beers from California and New Mexico. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Beer of the Day podcast. All right. If you like this podcast and would like to help us out, then you can do so by rating and reviewing this podcast on iTunes. iTunes is the number one place where people get podcasts on the internet. And if you subscribe to the Beer of the Day podcast on your iTunes or your iPhone, or you rate and review it, then that helps us move up in the rankings so that if anyone comes and looks for a beer podcast, we're higher up on the list. And so we get more listeners. So we're always trying to expand the number of listeners of this show. This is the 55th episode that we've done, and pretty much every episode beats the previous one in listeners, and we want to keep that trend going. So you can help us out by rating us and reviewing us on iTunes. If you want to help us out financially, we have a link on our website on the right-hand side that says Shop on Amazon. You click that link, you go to Amazon, you do your regular shopping. You don't have to go buy extra stuff on our account, just buy the stuff you normally would, and we get a little percentage of what you spend. For example, just last month, somebody purchased the Sigoma 4GB waterproof MP3 player with water-resistant headphones, FM radio, clip designed for swimming, running, diving, workout, etc. I didn't know they made underwater MP3 players, but it seems like a pretty good idea if you're going to be spending a lot of time in the water. Maybe you can listen to these waterproof headphones while you're at the gym swimming. They paid $36.95 for it, and at 4.01% commission, we made $1.48. Not too shabby. They have it on sale now. It's only $29.99. So if you go to Amazon through the Beer of the Day website, buy that, and then you'll be able to listen to your music underwater. And that helps us out. So we appreciate all your shopping, and we appreciate you supporting us on this program. Welcome back to the show. For tonight's Strange Brew segment, we are trying the Blackberry Barley Wine from the Lips of Faith series, New Belgium Brewing in Fort Collins, Colorado.
I've been looking forward to this. We've been hanging on to this one. We've had several of the Lips of Faith beers in the past, and I think most have been very good. So this is another beer where we have high expectations. And this is just one of those beers that looks good. I like blackberries. I like barley wine. What can go wrong?
Now this beer, you pour it and you get the sense that there's blackberry in it because it has a little bit of a purplish hue. The color is a dark amber color, but there's something about it that makes you think that it is there's blackberries in it because it kind of looks a little purplish in the light.
I mean, it's reddish purple, and this is going to be strong. It's 10%. Not much head. I mean, it's a very thin, wispy head. I mean, the head that was there dissipated very quickly.
I still got 2 fingers on mine. It's I'm a little bit more of a enthusiastic pourer.
I was gentle. Aroma is very inviting. I mean, you just smell this, and you know there's going to be a bunch of flavors in here.
I don't get much blackberry on the aroma though, which surprised me.
I don't really get any blackberry on the aroma.
Nope.
I mean, I'm hoping this is one of those beers where the blackberries are present, but they don't dominate. It's just kind of subtle in the background, but still there.
I think that that is pretty much what this is doing. Moving up to 10% from, well, the last one was 8%, so I guess we've been slowly on the rise here, but it's quite a bit of booziness here. Very sweet, as you'd expect. A lot of times this you have to have the sweetness to get the high alcohol. So you kind of get this sweet barley wine flavor, but not as overpowering as a lot of barley wines can get. And then you do get the blackberry aftertaste. Like you took a bite of blackberry pie and then 20 seconds later, after you've already swallowed it, that little bit of blackberry that you have still residual in on, you know, coating your mouth is kind of what you get here.
I think if I didn't know this was a blackberry beer though, I don't know if I would identify that as one of the fruits. I think there's a lot of fruitiness in the beer, don't get me wrong, but it just tastes like a generality of dark fruits. Like it could be cherries or it could be plums or
blueberries.
Blueberries. Yeah, exactly. It could be anything that's sort of these dark fruits. I don't know that I specifically would say this is blackberry.
No, but definitely the cherry kind of hit a chord for me. I get that. But I mean, I think a chord is the way to describe this, where you're getting several different fruits all at one time and kind of giving you a bouquet of dark fruitiness on the aftertaste.
I think this is a pretty thick beer. Like it's got a strong mouth coating. And it's one of those beers that I think you have to have the right temperature that you pour this at. If it's too cold, you're not going to enjoy it as much. It's, you know, you want it to be a little bit warmer, and it just, you're going to get a lot of different flavors. And I think it changes from the start to the beginning. It's really fruity and bold at first, and then at the end, it's kind of like smooth and it's never bitter at all. It's just smooth and sort of sweet in the finish.
Yeah, and the more I drink it, the more I like it. It was an adjustment at first, but now I take a sip of this, and it's just smooth. You know, it's not doesn't give you a kick at 10%, and it really just it's so mellow. I mean,
this isn't barrel aged at all, is it? And I ask that because I feel like I'm getting like a woody, oaky taste, but I don't think it's barrel aged. But I think this is also a beer that will change over time. If you, when this is fresh, it's good. But it's, I mean, like a lot of barley wines, the flavors will change and oftentimes get better over time.
Sure, and they put that right on the bottle here. It says, delicious now, differently delicious later. So, I mean, yeah, I think that's what they're talking about, it how it would change over time. And this has been in the fridge for over a year now. So, you know, I can imagine it probably is a little bit more mellow than it was when it first was released.
Yeah, it's going to smooth out over time and get a little bit more mellow. I mean, I try to buy these beers and hold on to them. I really try not to drink this style of beer right away.
True.
It's better to age it.
Barley wines in general, you have to go into it knowing it's going to be strong. And I'm always like a little hesitant. I'm like careful when I take the sip. This one, it's completely drinkable. It's one of the more accessible barley wines you'll ever find.
I think what it is, it's the fruitiness to it. Like I think of barley wines and I think of wintertime and these beers that really warm you up. And here we are drinking this in August and it's still like very drinkable and fruity, but I think it's for this time of year, it's one of those barley wines that is definitely acceptable.
Yeah. Now let's get into the beer news of the day. Our first story. So I have a serious story, and then I have a couple of, you know, more lighter stories. The first one is, it basically talks about, this was in the Wall Street Journal. It talks about how, even though the craft brewing explosion is starting to slow down, it's not going to really benefit the big beer. And I mean, over the past decade or so, it says hoppy lagers and ales from niche brands have taken substantial market share from the mainstream breweries such as Anheuser-Busch, their Bud Light, and Budweiser. Craft brews now account for 14% of the U.S. market by volume, up from 6% in 2009. So in 7 years, it went from 6% to 14%, which is
so. Why do you say it's slowing down?
Growth rates for years have reliably been in double digits, but have slipped this year. According to new data from Nielsen, craft beer sales were up just 4.5% year over year for 3 months through mid-August. So that's down from a peak of almost 20% in 2013. So it used to be growing at 20% a year. Now it's only growing 4.5% a year.
That's interesting because I don't know that I realized that. Like it still seems like rapid growth to me. I don't think I would have realized that it's slowing down. And obviously it's still growing. It's just not growing at the same pace is kind of the point of this article, right?
It is. So, I mean, it is still growing, but, you know, it's hard to maintain that pace because it seems like to me we might have reached that limit of like saturation where yeah. we have almost, I think we have 5,000 breweries in this country or close to it, but I hear that they're for the application for like creating breweries, there's like 2,500 more. We're going to soon be at like 7,000. And I've already seen stories of some that have shut their doors. You know, they've gone out of business. I think it's going to be not as steep of a climb as it has been recently.
I think that's true. I mean, the growth cannot be sustainable. I mean, the craft beer market is great. We love it, but it can't grow at 20% a year like it has. From my perspective, I think it really depends on where you are. And you mentioned saturation. We've talked about this like on our LA beers podcast from a few weeks ago. I think there are certain cities that seem very saturated. If you go to San Diego, which we love the beer in San Diego, or if you go to Portland, we love the beer there. Certain cities seem to be very saturated where I don't know how all of these breweries are going to stay in business and be profitable. But if you go to a place like LA, where I'm in the LA area, there's new breweries and it doesn't seem saturated. I think it really depends on where you are, because I think there's still a lot of growth potential where I live, but other cities don't have that same potential. They're sort of at that max capacity.
Yeah. And so it says here that in the U.S., wine and spirits have been growing faster than beer, even including craft beer, since at least the turn of the millennium, 2000. Bourbon is growing a lot. Hennessy, cognac. So there's a lot of other areas that are growing. And so just because craft beer is starting to slow down doesn't mean that that's good for Anheuser-Busch. And then also, you know, their own craft beers like Goose Island and the brands they own account for just 1% of their sales totals, which I thought was interesting. Also, all these acquisitions they've done, it really is just such a small little blip on the radar for what they are.
But I think that's where they're seeing the growth. I mean, a company like InBev is seeing growth from these craft breweries that they buy out. It's such a small percentage that it doesn't really move the needle much.
Yeah. And then in beer Game of Thrones news, it seems weird that we would have an article on this every single week, but it seems like there's always something that comes into play. This week, the Game of Thrones creators and are back in Ireland, and Jason Momoa, who in the first season played Khal Drogo, the actor visited the Guinness Brewery, and they released his own brand of beer called Mano Brew. And he says, "Da Mano, luckiest man on earth, Ohana, at Guinness US." This is his tweeting, and he took a picture with himself. A sour, my favorite, made by my favorite. So, I don't know. I think this is a marketing strategy by Guinness where they get actors that people would recognize. This guy's going to be Aquaman soon. And they give him his own beer, and then they get this publicity you know, out on the internet. And I've seen multiple people do this, them do it with multiple people. So it seems a little bit odd because he's not like a huge name, but I guess more power to him.
Well, I think it's odd to me because I don't think of Guinness as a company that is making new beer or different beers. I think they are good at what they do and they should stick to making Guinness. And if they're branching out into new beers for these actors, I mean, fine. It's surprising to me, though.
Well, I guess this one's a sour. And in the you hate to hear it department, a Pennsylvania woman was so hopped up with rage when her husband guzzled the last of her beers that she slashed her spouse with a pair of scissors and bit his hands and arms, police say. Tracy Lee Giffen, 45, of North Union Township, was jailed, charged with aggravated assault of her 59-year-old husband. And this was 3 years after she was charged with a similar crime.
Well, if he finished off all that Le Grave beer from Pennsylvania, I can understand.
Yeah, could very well be. You know, this is never a problem at Beer of the Day World Headquarters. We have so much beer in the fridge that we're not going to run out on any given night, so the violence ends up at a minimum. And so there's a lot to be said for keeping your fridge full, people. All right, let's get into the next beer. This is from the state of California. This is the Chocolate Porter. 6.8% from Evans Brewing Company in Irvine, California, Orange County. Now, this is a brewery I'm seeing a lot of up in Northern California. So they have the distribution figured out. And I'm sure we'll have more of this brewery on this show if this beer is good.
You know, that's an interesting point because I haven't seen much of this in the LA area. I got this bottle very recently, but I see a lot more up in Northern California, which is odd, not what I would expect. And I didn't realize this, especially in light of our Orange County show not too long ago. This is actually the oldest brewery in Orange County, and they've been around since 1994. And, you know, by craft beer standards, 1994 is pretty good. I mean, they've been around for a while. So,
yeah,
I don't know why I haven't seen much of their beers until now.
I don't know. Maybe they're just getting their act together. So Chocolate, that sounds like chocolate and latte, which is like coffee. So I'm imagining this is a chocolate coffee porter. And on the aroma, I'm getting both of those qualities.
Yes, absolutely. I think this is a beer that's going to taste exactly how it sounds and how it smells.
It's a very dark brown color, almost black, and then on the edges there's like a lot of red color seeping through, thin tan head, even almost light brown head.
Brown khaki color, yeah. Yeah, very dark. I mean, you can't see through this beer. Chocolate porter.
So initially I noticed the lighter mouthfeel. It's not very heavy. And then I get some chocolate cocoa nib taste and a little bit of like chalkiness, which is surprising, like a cocoa powder that you would bake with.
It's a lot lighter body than I was expecting. I thought it would be thicker and syrupy, and it's not. I guess it's a porter. It's not a stout, but it's a little nutty also. You know, you mentioned all the, you know, the chocolate. There's some coffee, toffee flavors. It's like this chalky, powdery mouthfeel. But it's kind of nutty as well.
Yeah. I'm surprised it's less sweet than I would imagine. Like if this is coffee, there's not much cream in it. And it's not milk chocolate. It is like cocoa chocolate where you get the bitterness.
Well, I think what it is, it's a choco latte. And I'm a latte drinker. I don't like sweet coffee drinks, and lattes are not sweet. That's probably what this is. It's a coffee drink that is not a sweet coffee drink. I like that aspect of it because some of these coffee beers can be overly sweet, too much like chocolate, brown sugar. This has the chocolate, but it's more like the dark baker's chocolate, not the sweet chocolate.
Agreed. And now I understand the what Jeff goes through every single podcast. After this show, I'm going to have six half beers to drink, and it's going to be pretty good.
Not a bad thing. You know, one other thing I was going to mention about this brewery, and I didn't know this, but I did some research today on this. It's been around since 1994, like I said, but this is actually a publicly traded company. And, you know, in the past, we've talked about Ballast Point was, they were about to go public. They were going to do an IPO. That changed. They got bought out by another company. But this is actually a publicly traded craft brewery, which there's not a lot of those. There's like Widmer Brothers is. They're owned by a conglomerate that owns several breweries.
New Belgium is company owned, not publicly owned, but it's owned by the employees, which is kind of cool.
But this is publicly owned. Like, it's a stock that if you want to invest in this company, you can do so. So I looked it up. For those of you who are investors, the stock symbol is Ales, A-L-E-S, which is pretty cool. They got that early before anybody took it. So, you know, most of these breweries and beers we have on the show are all pretty small. They're not publicly traded. This is one of the few that is a publicly traded company.
I'm surprised that more companies don't go that route. I mean, many, many businesses go that route, but the breweries, they either fund it themselves or they get bought out by another brewery or an investor group buys them out. There's a lot of different ways that it goes, but there's very few publicly traded beer companies.
I think it's because every brewery is still really like minuscule in size. I mean, if you look at companies that are publicly traded on the stock market, they're huge. They're big companies. And even like what we think of as a big brewery is still a really small company, you know, based on revenue and profit and all this stuff in comparison to most publicly traded companies that you can invest in. So I think, you know, this is a tiny company, and I think a lot of them, just for them to go public, it doesn't make sense until they get a lot bigger.
Yeah, that's true. I can see that. All right, well, let's move into the last beer of the night. This is from Bosque Brewing Company in Albuquerque, New Mexico. It's called Just for Fun Imperial Black IPA. This is 8.7%.
Another one of the beers that Hugo picked up on his way back, and I'm pretty confident in saying this is my first ever beer from New Mexico. How about you, Dal?
Yep, never had one from New Mexico before.
And, you know, we don't have a lot of black IPAs on this show. I think it's pretty bold that we're going with an Imperial Black IPA. I like that. And we haven't had any other IPAs until right now.
I think this, just smelling, I haven't even poured it yet, but I smell it in the bottle, and it smells like just charcoal burnt malt, like the darkest malt I've ever smelled before.
Really? I think it smells incredibly hoppy. I think this smells like fresh hops, like an abundance of hops.
Yeah, I'm getting the hop flavor now that I poured it in the glass. Before, I was smelling it straight out of the bottle, and now I'm smelling it out of the glass.
You're right. I'm smelling the bottle, and I smell hops. And then in the glass, in the bottle, I smell malts, and in the glass, I smell the hops.
Yeah, it's weird. So this is dark brown color. There's a little points of light coming through it, even in the middle. And then on the edges, you see a dark, deep amber color. I got about two fingers of tan head here. Really good lacing. This just sticks to the side of the glass.
I mean, the color is, I mean, it's very dark, almost black, very dark brown.
Just the roasted malt and hop aroma. Really good smelling beer.
That's pretty good on the taste. I mean, if I wasn't looking at this, I would not think that this was a black ale. There's some toasted malt characteristics, but this tastes like a really fresh hoppy beer.
I mean, I get the dark, the black malt, roasted malt also. So I think, and it has a little bit of an alcoholic kick to it. So I think this is aptly named Imperial Black IPA. That's what this is.
What do you think? So the name of this beer is Just for Fun, which I like. It's cool.
I bet.
Fun name.
I bet they were experimenting and they just made this beer just for the hell of it, you know, trying something out. And I have no idea. I bet I can look at the side of the bottle and maybe we'll see.
There's too much writing on here for me to tell. But I like this. I mean, and I've never been a huge fan of black IPAs. I think a lot of breweries are actually getting rid of them. And I would guess that that's one of the styles of beer that is not growing in popularity in the craft beer world. I just don't know a lot of people that like the black IPA style. But this is one of the better ones, if not the best one that I've had. I enjoy this. I think it's got... I haven't figured out the hops yet. But I think there's the right amount of malty, almost like vanilla and toffee flavors that you don't normally get from an IPA. And it's very well balanced with all the hops.
Yeah, that's true. This is a strong beer, though. I mean, the Imperial is definitely there. No mistaking it.
Yeah, it's 8.7%, 90 IBUs. And, you know, it's not that bitter to me. I think the hops, now that I have a few sips, are like citrusy, which is always like misleading to me to have a dark colored beer and have citrusy hops. But I think it's citrusy hops balanced with like just the perfect amount of malt, roasted malt flavors.
Yeah. It says Mosaic's complex blend of fruit, dank, and earth lead out, while a mild roast character blends into the full bodied malt base.
Those are all like my favorite words. Mosaic, earthy.
And I guess their motto is flavor is boss, and there's no shortage of flavor in this beer.
Yeah, this is a complex beer. I mean, this is something people will sit down and you could describe all kinds of things about this. This has got to be a very highly rated beer, in my opinion. Makes me want to go to New Mexico to see what else they have. This seems like a cool brewery that we should check out someday.
Yeah, for sure. As the only beer I've ever had from New Mexico, this is setting the bar pretty high. All right, Jeff, well, you want to recap the beers we had tonight, and then we'll figure out what our favorite beer of the day was.
Sure. It's going to make spinning to see who goes first a little interesting with just two of us, but
I'll get a coin.
Perfect. So we had six beers tonight, again, from six completely different styles from six different states. And so we started out with the St. Arnold Weed Whacker from Texas, and then we tried the Barrio Brewing Company Barrio Rojo. I can't roll my R's. Scottish style amber ale. And then we jumped to the Troegs Le Grave Triple Golden Ale from Pennsylvania. After the break, we tried our strange brew, the New Belgium Lips of Faith Blackberry Barley Wine. And we went over to California, our home state, to try Evans Brewing Company, the Chocolate Porter. And we just finished up with the Bosque, I don't know if we established how to say that. Bosque Brewing from New Mexico, the Just for Fun Imperial Black IPA.
All right, just like our wheel of who goes first is real every week, I have a real coin. I'm going to go over here to the other microphone. I will be heads, Jeff will be tails.
What if I wanted to call it in the air?
Heads.
All right. You're up. Big decision.
It's always me, no matter what. All right. It's always a tough decision when you have so many different styles and so many different good beers. I mean, if it was multiple IPAs, I usually will have a favorite, but having to compare style to style is something we don't do very often, and it's a little tough. That being said, we always have to make a decision. So my beer of the day is going to be the Le Grave Triple Golden Ale from Troegs. This beer was just so smooth, and it balanced the breadiness and the sweetness and the complexness so well that it's a beer that I bet I could have several times and be able to pick different things out each time that I had it. It's like one of those beers where you can't get a good read on right away, and that's kind of refreshing. It's like reading a book where it's very complicated with the plot line, and you have to work to follow it. Well, that's kind of like that with that beer, and I enjoy a challenge. So that's my beer of the day, Le Grave Triple Golden Ale from Trogues Brewing Company.
Very good pick. You know, for me, it came down to two beers, and this was a great show. A lot of these beers we've been holding on to because they're kind of random. They're, like we said, from six different states. But I was impressed with every beer. Every one of these was excellent. I do have favorites for sure. I really enjoyed that Le Grave Triple Golden Ale. But for me, my number one choice is going to be that Bosk Brewing Imperial Black IPA, the Just for Fun. And I say that because it is, you know, I wasn't quite sure, but now I'm pretty sure it's the best black IPA that I've ever had. I really enjoy the balance between the hops and the malts. It's the citrus hops, I think a little bit of like herbal tea, earthy flavors mixed with this like nutty, malty, roasted flavors. It's really well done. It's smooth. It's not at all bitter. I mean, don't be turned off by the 8.7% or the 90 IBUs. It's strong, no doubt, but it's very drinkable, not bitter. And out of all of these, I'd say for the style, that was the beer that I enjoyed the most.
I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man.
Well, I feel like we've been everywhere tonight. We went to six states for six different breweries and six different styles of beer. Whew! And now I know what Jeff goes through every single week, where I have six beers to drink tonight by myself. Oh, well, I'll get by. Speaking of getting everywhere, we're going to be in the Northeast at the beginning of October, starting on October 6th. And for that whole extended weekend, we're going to Boston, New Hampshire, Maine, and Vermont, and a bunch of breweries in that area. We will have more details and post them up on the website when we have them. In 2 weeks, Jeff and I will be at the California Craft Beer Summit in Sacramento on the 9th and 10th of September. And they have a lot of speakers, a lot of seminars about the whole craft beer industry in this country. And so we'll be checking that out as well. So if you're in the Sacramento area, we'll see you at that event. All right, we'll see you next time. I know we have a Texas show coming up. Couple other ones we kind of have on the horizon. So a lot of good things coming up here. And we'll see you next time for that. For Jeff Miller, I'm Dallas Helliker. This is the Beer of the Day podcast.
Good night, y'all.